take me somewhere only we know we
say no prayer. Ask a Med Gay, Easy Bizu on Radio 3. Morris, how are you after a huge Melbourne weekend?
Happy Tuesday. I am wonderful, wonderful. It was a huge weekend. We had a long weekend here, so we had 3 days off, and the city was pumping. I actually thought of you on Saturday night too, because we were at the MSO, Melbourne Symphony.
Great. They're lovely orchestra, aren't they?
Oh, it was wonderful, truly a wonderful evening. But anyway, I digress.
All right, let me quickly digress. The last time I heard them, it was a Christmas concert, and in the Town Hall, I guess, and Vic Arts Centre, they're doing Tubby the Tuba. Yeah. Tubby the Tuba, it was brilliant.
Yeah, they are very, very good. Started off with Star Wars and went to Tchaikovsky, did the whole bit, but they were wonderful. Yep.
So Morris writes fairly prolifically when he feels like it, and the latest article on morrisfuturist.com, it's kind of very obviously a strategy piece that Morris would use as a keynote speaker or something, but it did grab me, Morris. When headlines become operating conditions, how leaders choose forward in uncertain times, and boy, oh boy, we are in a big time, up to 11, uncertain time. And I think basically this got me thinking about messaging, and it got me thinking about how we receive messages. In the old days, if the leader of a country said X, Y, and Z, you know, even if it's his opinion, you'd take it. But now, when we read these articles on social media, we just go, I'm not sure if I believe that. It's AI.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Not only don't we believe it, we make up our own opinions. You know, as you said quite rightly, culture was really based on people having some kind of hierarchy. That didn't mean better or worse, but there was somebody who had a message and we believed the message bought into it, and as a society we followed it. And the article talks about it's for me, it's cyclical, unfortunately, meaning that I've lived through this so many times in the past few decades,
yeah,
where there are calamities, there are terrible things, like at the moment. Nothing good to be said about what's happening at the moment. But our response to it, both in business and as humans, is typical of these kinds of events. And that's not to downplay them at all. But it is to say that we tend to go to catastrophic. You know, we tend to make it catastrophic.
Well, that's
the first
news,
place
isn't
most
it?
People
that's,
go.
That's the headline.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we tend to think the worst. Again, it may be happening. I don't know if it is. But I personally don't believe that if we take ourselves to 100 straight away, there's nowhere left to come back to. Mm. I mean, it just overwhelms us. And from a business viewpoint, but from a personal viewpoint as well, same thing I used to say when I was counselling people, still do. I've got three basic rules that I kind of follow whenever something like this happens. And they're easier to say, much harder to do. But the first one is wait for clarity. You know, let's obviously we have just heard the news, or we're hearing the news.
Yeah.
We know it's bad. And as you said, often we're only hearing, not one-sided because it's wrong, but we're only hearing the very, very bad stuff. So it seems like it really is overwhelming. And invariably, there's bad things happening, but it's a more nuanced conversation than that. So I'm always rattling on about let's wait and let's try and find clarity. Go to different sources, try and figure out what, you know, worst case, best case. The next one that I'm always see, human or business, is reactive decision-making.
Go on.
Reactive decision-making is the notion of, if this is happening, I have to do this. And it's just as quick as that. You know, if we can't do this, then I'm not going to be able to do that. And a perfect example at the moment in Australia is that we are being told that we will likely not have enough petrol, diesel, for a while. And that's because Australia has a quirk, which we live with, but that is that we only ever carry 30-day reserves in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
We actually don't make petrol anymore. We don't produce it. Everything's imported. So we only keep 30 days worth of fuel, rolling 30 days of worth of fuel in Australia. And that's been going on for years. It's not a government thing. It's been literally every form of government's done that.
Essentially?
Because we don't produce it, so it's not worth... I mean, so there's nothing here that we can hold back.
Oh.
And because it's so expensive in storage and cost and the rest of it, that somebody did their numbers a long time ago and figured as long as we've got 30 days on shore, rolling 30 days. So when we use, you know, one day of that, somebody tops up that one day.
Yeah.
So as long as I've got 30 days in the tank across Australia, in diesel, in gas, in all kinds of things, we're okay. So at the moment we are being told that it's possible we will run out of fuel. And literally last night they were showing a bowser of a gas station, which has run out of petrol. Now, this is a petrol station, it's absolutely true, but it's out the back of nowhere, Phil. They only receive deliveries like once every 3 weeks. And, of course, the bowser hasn't been refuelled, especially with diesel at the moment. So they're using that to prove the case. So all of a sudden last night there were queues everywhere. Everyone's lining up to try and buy diesel especially because we have even less of that. And petrol, because we're told there's none. And it reminds me, I don't know whether you had similar things, but in COVID we ran out of toilet paper.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy here.
Crazy. So I'm imagining this petrol thing is going to be exactly the same, which to me is the reactive decision-making. That's where I was getting at with all of that. Yeah. We hear one thing, we begin to catastrophise it, we say, we've got to react, I'm going to go fill up the petrol.
Why do we catastrophise it, Maurice? A daft one
human
here.
Human nature.
A daft one 100%
here human nature.
Was something about sodium. And so everybody went out buying sacks of salt.
Yeah. Always.
Which would kill them, probably.
Yeah. And the sideline to the petrol, which I loved last night, was Bunnings, which is our big hardware store.
Yeah.
National hardware store. They sell everything, but they also sell containers to store petrol. And they were saying that Bunnings has had a run on those petrol containers, and literally there are none on the shelves anywhere because people have run in to buy them so they could buy excess petrol to store in their garage for when their car needs it. And I said, turned around to my wife, and I hope this never comes true, and said, I'm waiting for the first story of where somebody's burnt their house down. But anyway, reactive decision-making. Let's not go down that road.
Okay, reactive decision-making. But let's
I give you the third?
Sorry, go on.
So the third part in that pattern. So the first was waiting for clarity. The second was reactive decision-making. And the third part of that, to me, is emotional overcorrection.
Okay, that's the bit. Yep, go on.
And that to me is the classic trilogy of what most of us, to me included, I'm no better, me included, do when for something is told to us it's not great. Now, emotional overcorrection, it's really where the past shocks begin influencing present decisions. We begin thinking back to pandemics, back to GFC, back to when our mother told us she lived through the war, back to when our grandparents told us they lived through, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we think the worst because they're the stories we know. And all three are very, very similar. But that's seems to me to be exactly what's happening. Again, not downplaying what is, but saying that our approach to it, the way that businesses particularly, the ones I talk to now, really follow those classic three lines. And I'm trying to pull them up on all three, again, to be careful and to be prudent, but also to understand that a lot of what they're reacting to isn't true and is likely not to come true.
This again is the sort of social media phenomenon, isn't it? I mean, you know, we started off talking about the news being paramount. So look back at scenes of people in the cinema looking at Pathé News today in the colonies. They believed every single word of that, right?
Well, we had to.
Absolutely. Because it was the news.
Yeah. But now it was the only place.
Indeed. Now we move on to the story you've just told us about petrol stations, etc., and the shocking photo. Now, what is the reason for people going bananas? Is it because of the way that headline was written without saying, and by the way, we only keep 30 days in the tank anyway? Or is it because we are just freaking out because that's what we do these days, partially courtesy of social media?
I would say that it was a mixture of all of them, meaning that if you're going to sell something, if you're going to sell newspaper or you're going to get people to look at your site, you want it to be dramatic. And we know that if we say that petrol is running out, that's a dramatic headline and they will be dragged in. And, of course, it should have a big asterisk next to it. Petrol is running out. But, of course, in one Bowser out the back of Burke, literally, where very, very few people buy it anyway, and she is in a bad way because she can't get petrol, but it's one petrol station. It's not the majority of petrol stations around Australia by any means.
Yeah, would it be news, though, if the headline was, and today we haven't got quite as much petrol as we thought we had, but don't worry, she'll be right. No, that
she'll
wouldn't
be right, mate. Well, we would love that. Australians are really big on she'll be right, but it wouldn't hold as well.
Brilliant, honestly. So, I mean, I suppose where we're going to with this is it our fault if we overreact to things? What was it? What was the third one you said again? What was the terminology?
So, for me, it's emotional overcorrection. But that's a fancy way of saying exactly what you've just said.
Yeah.
You know, the pendulum swings too far the other way until we bring it back again is usually the way I describe it. And honestly, those three things are very, very human. They have been for billions of years. They probably will be for another billion years or however humans are on this planet. But that doesn't excuse us because I think we can do better than that. And my resolution to this, again, human business doesn't matter, is what I call micro decisions.
Okay.
And that is absolutely everything you've just thought, everything you've just read, could be true, and maybe we shouldn't be making big lifelong decisions. But we still have to live, we still have to breathe, we still have to work, we still have to eat, we still have to travel. So let's bring it back to a much shorter timeline. Let's go back to micro decisions. What do I need to do today, tomorrow, next week, the week after? And also, let's begin to look at what's plausible and what's possible. You know, what decisions can I hold off? I was thinking of going on a trip, but I don't really need to now. So maybe I'll wait 3 months, as against to, I have to leave now.
But oh my God, we're running out of diesel. Traveling. And then it comes back.
Yeah. Exactly. So really just prioritizing the things that have to be done, not the things that we want to do.
And this is why this is where it was a strategy talk, basically, what we're talking about. I get it.
And the last piece, I mean, not the last piece, but one of the pieces I use for that always is, and then forgive yourself, always. Because the decision you make will be a bad one. And that's not because you've made a bad one, but because something will change in an hour or 3 hours that are going to make it seem that you can't do your micro decision anymore. Just forgive yourself and keep moving. It's not you. It's just you reacting to what's happening around you. And that's micro decisions. So if they're small enough and they're you know, kind of short-term enough, you can adjust. If you can't get milk today, you'll buy UHT milk or you'll go to something else. It won't be great, but you'll make adjustments. We all do.
There's a lot more in this article than what he was saying to his business colleagues. And I think one of the opening lines grabbed me. If you want to check it out, morrisfuturist.com, go to the blog. He says, in volatile times, the biggest risk is rarely the event itself. And that's quite profound, actually, Morris.
Yeah. And it goes on. The next line says, it's how we react to it that is.
Yeah.
I think I think that is very, very much about the human conditions. Everything that I've experienced in the last many decades, both working as a counsellor and working, you know, through this strategy, it really is the way that we approach something that ends up being the way that we react to it. And that's not to say that what we're reacting to is bad. Mm. It's just saying that we have a choice, given those bad situations, what we can do with that.
Well, I'm pretty sure that in about 15 minutes' time, I'll hear about the diesel thing from Jared, who's in Australia as well. But it's very, I mean, really, that's a great case in point. This isn't a life or death thing. And boy, oh boy, there are so many of those going on at the moment. But so Morris says, how do you make good decisions when the environment becomes uncertain, emotional and unpredictable? He says, conflicts erupt, energy prices jump, markets wobble, supply chains twitch, etc., etc. But I think what it is, Morris, is these are things that affect us and our families and day-to-day existence.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely, and that's why I'm not saying they're not things we should be reacting to. We're doing exactly what we should be doing. We wouldn't be human if we weren't. But we've all been around long enough now. I mean, COVID wasn't that long ago. It was terrible. It was heinous. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But we lived through it somehow. We made adjustments. Our lives changed because of it. And we know that we have to move on. We have to keep ourselves safe, our family safe, our loved ones around us safe.
Yeah.
We've got to keep doing the things we do. And that's really what I'm saying in this article. It's what I always say, that as long as we go back to micro decisions, go back to who we are, what's important, look at what's happening around us and evaluate it for what it's worth, not for just what we're hearing, and then make small decisions, and forgive yourself when those decisions don't hold because something else has changed, and then move on to make the next small decision.
So this isn't a horrible human story. This just is
a human
story. And there's an interesting point you make. I mean, it's perfect that we're talking about this now. The headlines around the world are disastrous. And I think very often people are going to be saying, yeah, but that's miles away. That's in the Middle East or wherever. And then you start talking about petrol for your car and you go, hang on a minute. Oh, my God. That means me.
Yeah. I mean, 25% of all of our fuel and most of our goods that come into Australia come from that region. So already that's been put on hold indefinitely. And that may not seem like a lot, but it is. When you lose a fifth or a quarter or whatever the right figure is of your stuff coming in, that's a lot that you have to make up for. And you have all of the usual businesses in every kind, the manufacturers, the retailers, the resellers, whoever it is, whatever it is, all depending on these bits and bulbs.
Yeah.
That, I mean, there is stuff happening that's not good, not underplaying it, but what do we do?
Let's go back to the very top. We've got a minute and a bit left. So the headline, your headline is, when headlines become operating conditions. There's some good value in that, Morris. Just take that apart a little bit more to wrap us up.
Yeah, so it basically is that don't believe everything you're reading is what that says. I mean, and that's really where I take it from. That yes, understand the core of what it's trying to tell you, but then go out and find other sources for it. Go out and make your own decisions. you know, go out and find for yourself. I don't think it helps to do the doomsday. I also don't help with things to pretend it doesn't exist. Neither of those are particularly good. They're extremes, but you can find your own middle ground. And I tend to find, maybe it's just me, that once I've made my mind up on a more practical level, in other words, I've looked at a few sources, figured out what's actually happening as best as I can, figured out how it impacts on my life and what I need to do, I'm not comfortable, but at least I'm more comfortable than I was before when I read the catastrophe in the headline or heard somebody tell me what's, you know, how the world's going to explode.
Yeah. I mean, this article is very Morris. It could have been written at any time. It's just very allegorical at this time in history. And indeed, he says in moments like this, the real risk is often not the conflict itself. It's how leaders react to it. Now, you're talking about business leaders, but unfortunately, it now has so many more facets to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And as I said, this to me absolutely pertains to us in our lives every day too, even when bad things happen to us, unfortunately for many. It does from time to time. It's the same set of philosophies that we have to take to this, I think, anyway, in my view. But love you to have a read and see what you think.
Yeah, do. This is, it's, I mean, basically I find that your articles, they just bounce me off in different directions, and I'm assuming that's kind of what you want.
I don't know.
It makes you think, oh, I'd better check that out or that out. Anyway, morrisfuturist.com, go to the blog. And all being well, I'll catch you next week, Morris. Thanks so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as I don't need diesel to get here,
exactly.
We'll be fine.
But you've got 30 days, right? Take care, man. See you later. That's Morris Misolowski, live from